Taking your Bibles, turning to 2 Kings chapter 4, let's all stand out of respect for God's Word, which this old nation doesn't have respect for God's Word anymore. But we're going to show that, and we're going to believe it, and we're going to try to live it. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" She said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." He said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, live thou and thy children of the rest." There is not a vessel more. Our Heavenly Father, help us to open our ears and hear the pure Word of God. Help us to have our brains, our minds that you have given us, and use them this morning. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might speak not to our ears and brain only, but to our heart, to our soul. Lord, that there may be changes in our life that would please you. I pray that you might help me preach, Lord. Preach in the Spirit. Lord, that we might be blessed. You're a God that's full of blessing for those that love you. Help us to listen in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, what we just read here. We read back in the Old Testament that there was a prophet called Elijah with a J. He did many miracles. And he was taken by a fiery chariot. By the way, everything that the Word of God says, over 32,000 verses, I believe every one of them.
Amen.
I don't doubt the Word of God. I believe the Word of God. I'm a Bible believer.
It's the truth.
You give me the King James without changing the words, believe everything that it says. Oh, well, there's some things in there. People that start talking like that, they don't believe in miracles. I don't know what kind of God you have, but I got a God that can do miracles.
Amen.
He has. He's proved it. He does it over and over again. He's done it in my life, my wife's, and so forth, my kids. All kinds of things that go on. I believe in that kind of a God. That God's alive. I don't know what kind of Christ you have. You might be adoring a crucifix where Christ is still hanging on the cross. I got news for you. I'm not worshiping that Christ. I'm worshiping the one that was in a tomb and he came out.
Amen.
He's in heaven today. So it's a blessing to have a God like that and to write this so that we might be able to apply it to our lives. We find here, he says he was a servant of Elisha, because after Elijah was gone, Elisha caught his mantle and he did double the miracles that Elijah did. So Elisha is the one that we're talking about here in chapter 4. And he comes across this widow. And the situation as it was laid out, her husband died. Here we got a preacher that died. And he left behind a widow. He left behind two sons. He left behind a big debt. And he left behind a creditor that was going to take everything. Make her sons slaves. And everything else because she couldn't pay the debt. And this preacher obviously did not take care of his family. It tells you very clearly there in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 that you're supposed to take care of your family. Provide for your family. If you don't, you're worse than an infidel. And so here he is, and there's so many sad stories of folks and families and marriages and children and everything else, because people don't follow the Bible. They won't take counsel. They get stubborn, they get proud, they get self-willed, they get bitter. They get everything but a teachable spirit. And if you'll listen, God can change your life. And God can do some miracles within your life.
Yes, sir.
He's able to. Well, she had a plea for help. She asked him for help. And he says, well, what do you need? And she explained it to him. She said, I got to have some money to pay the debtor. My husband put us in debt. It's bad when you have somebody die in the family, especially a husband. Or a wife, someone that's in control of the finances and things that go on, you know. You find out what they left you in. And then you go through all of the legal and financial things and everything. What a headache, huh? Happens all the time. If we just follow the Word of God, we wouldn't have that. You would mourn over the person. By the way, if the person's saved, you're not mourning for him, you're mourning for yourself. If the person is saved, he's in heaven. He wouldn't come back if you paid him $1 million. He's enjoying all of the pleasures of heaven forever. But you feel bad for yourself. You weep for yourself because you've lost. You've lost something. He says, you have a need. Well, he says, what do you have in the house? And she said, I don't have anything in that house. Oh, wait, I got a pot of oil. Oil, very important in those days. In Bible days, for sure. And oil in the Bible, it's symbolic of the Holy Spirit of God. Holy oil. The oil of gladness, you read in the Bible. the oil of joy you read in the Bible. Oil is very important. They used oil in lighting the temple, lighting their houses. They all used oil. And sure enough, even in the temple, the priest was in charge of always having oil in the lamp. It was always to be a light representing the truth of God. Elijah, he was negligent. It ceased to burn, and God wrote Ichabod over it. It had burned for 100 years, and it never went out. But boy, after it went out, problems arose. God not only wrote Ichabod over the temple, but over the whole nation, and the whole nation was taken into captivity into Babylon. Oil is important, my friend. James 5:14 says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So God, as I said, it's a representation of the Holy Spirit. There's no power in the oil. Power in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can heal. According to God's will, the circumstances, everything that goes into it, you don't know all of the operations of God that goes on in the background. One day we'll get to heaven, we'll find out how it all worked together. But applying that oil to a sick person, it's expecting the Holy Spirit to do a work of grace in that person's life. Sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. But it depends on the faith of the person. The person is to ask for the elder. Have enough faith to ask for the elder to apply the oil. I'm a Bible believer. If there's verses in there that should that says that we're supposed to do something a certain way, well, let's do it a certain way. She didn't have anything but God. Representation of the Holy Spirit of God. She really didn't know what she had. And a lot of times when we get in situations like that, we don't know what we have. Brother, if you're saved, count your many blessings no matter what you're going through. So she understood what was really going on. She'd realize she's better off than she thought. Yeah, the only thing I have is God. I think that's enough.
Amen. Praise God.
Because he can do things no one else can. He works his own will, brother. Yeah, you only have the Creator. You only have the Originator. You only have the Fountainhead of Life. Don't discount God, my friend. Don't discount the Holy Spirit's working. Isaiah 11:2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord." Goes on, sevenfold Holy Spirit's action within that. Jesus, he paid our debt on the cross. It's completed. He said it's finished. I believe every word came out of Jesus' mouth. And if he said it's finished, that means you can't add to it. You can't work for it. You don't deserve it. I don't care how many bricks in the church you buy. Doesn't matter how many times you crawl on your knees upstairs or anything else that religion can throw at you. Religion's the worst thing you ever got. What you need is a spiritual relationship with the living God through His Son, Jesus Christ, is what you'll, that's the only way you can get it. Some Christians aren't filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They don't have the spirit of knowledge. They don't understand. They don't have the spirit of influence, the spirit of wisdom, of understanding the times that we live in and what ought to be done. The Holy Spirit knows all of that. If you tap into the oil, if you tap into the Holy Spirit, then things will start opening up in your life. Okay, so you got a pot of oil. Do something with it. A lot of times when you're going through stress, pressure, everything's coming apart at the seams, situations within your life. There are many and sundry everywhere. You can't see a lot of things clearly. And you need the Word of God to go ahead and search that out and straighten it out for you. He said, what's in your house? Are you applying this to yourself this morning? What's in your house? Do something with it. Where you abode. Keep your place here, if you will, and go to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. The book of Galatians, chapter 5. We're a Bible-believing church. We believe in bringing our Bibles to church, bringing a pen with us, so we can make notes in our Bible and an offering to be able to help reaching others, and being able to minister to others. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Tells us over in the book of James also that the spirit lusteth. Usually that context when the word lusteth is a negative thing. It's talking about sin. But in the Holy Spirit it's not. So you've got to interpret it that way and using hermeneutics. The important thing is, it means that you have a great desire, a deep desire. The Holy Spirit has a deep desire to meet your needs, to get things straightened out. But the flesh gets in the way. Because the flesh, it desires to keep on ruining your life, taking away your power and your strength and your devotion to God. He tells you that right there. One lust against the other. And so you can't do the things that you would want to do. My counsel is to get a hold of the oil, the Holy Spirit, and let Him guide you and lead you by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. Somebody goes off, you know, and says, oh, I'm just following the Word of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led me to do this, you know. When it's right against what the Bible teaches. Now, that isn't the Holy Spirit that's telling you to do that thing. You see that kind of stuff on the TV, newscast, of what people do. Blame it on the Holy Spirit and God and everything. No such thing, my friend. We need to tap the resources that we have. If you are saved, if there's been a day in your life where you realize you are a sinner and going to hell, a real, actual, literal hell that lasts forever, if there was a day when you realized that, and you also realized the only answer to that was Jesus Christ to get you to a literal, real heaven when you died and you asked Christ to save you from hell, from your sins, and give you eternal life. Immediately, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit of God came within you. You were baptized by the Holy Spirit of God. He indwells you. He lives within you if you're really saved this morning. Tap into that resource that God has given you, the Holy Spirit. Life is hard, friend. A lot of bad things happen in life. In the book of Job, we read, man is of few days and born into trouble. Boy, it's not hard to find trouble. Looks like trouble finds you, huh? And so your life is determined on all of that. Need to look at that pot of oil that God has given you. The Holy Spirit was behind the giving of the Word of God, the book that's in your lap this morning. He worked in for over 1,500 years through 40 different writers. As God, the Holy Spirit, is the author of the Word of God, the truth, the only pure thing on planet Earth. And you get a chance to read it every day, to annotate it, to learn, to grow, and let the Holy Spirit do the work. When Elisha said, go and borrow more vessels, more pots, he didn't tell her to look for the big ones. He didn't ask her to look for the size. He said, get as many as you can. Just keep on getting them. Get those vessels. Keep on bringing them in. Because the miracle's going to happen. That little oil that you had in your pot, just like the feeding of the 5,000 with the fish and the bread, poured the oil into that vessel and it was full. Went to the next vessel, she poured into that and that was full. She went to the next vessel, poured in that oil, you could sell for a good amount of money. God had this all worked out, sent the man of God to her with the answer about her life. You don't have to look and see how big it is. That's what's going on in Christianity today. Everybody's looking for a big church. Everybody's looking for the paid parking lots and the chandeliers and all of the stuff. They discount the truth. They say the Bible, believing they don't even know what the Bible is. You're using an NIV or an ESV or something else.
It's truth.
That's not a Bible. I'm a Bible believer.
Sure are.
You can't fool all of the people all the time. Except for one time. If you lie to them, deceive, and make false promises one time every 4 years, everybody believe it, and boy, you're all set then. You get in office, amen. So, you can fool the people that way. That's the condition we're in right now, folks. She had to have the right motive for you to have oil in your life, working out your problems, and you got to have the right motive. What was her motive? It was pure. To get out of debt, pay off that creditor, so that she could redeem her sons. You know, we got the charismatic crowd out here. They want to use the oil for entertainment. Huh? Yeah, you'll see them on the TV programs, you know. I'm speaking in tongues. You sure are. Tell me what language you just said. A lot of liars out there, a lot of deceivers. Watch out. But they're using the oil, the Holy Spirit, just for entertainment. For show. They're going to show off, you know. For their own personal pleasure. For excitement. This is all about redeeming the lost, my friend. That's what the oil is all about. You had to redeem those sons with that oil. Because they were in debt. Remember the foolish virgins I had preached on a few weeks ago. Five of them were foolish. They didn't have any oil. Came knocking at the door. Said, I never knew you. They didn't get in. Make sure you have the Holy Spirit, my friend. Make sure you're truly saved and the power of God can work within you. They were foolish virgins. You see, we can't tell who's saved and who's not saved today. Somebody says they're saved, you got to take them at their word. You go by their actions, what they do, so forth, and all of that. But you know there's tares among the wheat. And you can't tell the tare away from the real wheat. Let them grow together, Jesus said in his parable. Because he's got an event coming up where the tares and the wheat are going to be separated. Those that are really saved, the church, his bride, will be caught up in the air to meet him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the rapture. It's just like taking a magnet. You take a strong magnet, you put a bunch of nails there on the counter, and then you take a bunch of toothpicks. The toothpicks look like the nails. You can paint them up and everything, make them look like that. But once the magnet comes, only the nails come up. God has a way. He always has a way. He always has an answer. Romans chapter 1. Go to that, please. Book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 14. Paul says, I'm in debt. I am a debtor, both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, that is, the fools. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach. Preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. It says very clearly that we are in debt. We that are saved, we've got the answer. We're in debt to every unsaved person because they don't know. So Jesus' plan is to go. Go tell them. And you're in debt to them. So everything's on your shoulders. You're to do what God tells you to do. You're to get the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't it interesting? Back in our text, in Kings, she and her son got in a room and closed the door with the oil. That's when the miracle happened. There's not too many Christians today that have a closet prayer time. Jesus taught that. Don't be like the hypocrites and the Pharisees, and you're praying outwardly and all of this. He says you get in the closet and you pray. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, all of that going on. That's what we're supposed to do, my friend. It says in Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye, that is, wait, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Being a Christian isn't hard. If you're trying to live your Christian life in the flesh, it's hard. But if you let the Holy Spirit of God take over in your life, you can do anything God told you to do because He's the power behind it. If I drive by your house at 3 a.m. and I see it on fire, I'm in debt to you to go warn you. Not to keep on driving right by it. I'm indebted because I've assumed the responsibility by the virtue of the awareness of the situation. That automatically makes me a debtor to you. And you don't even know me. I don't know you. We're in debt to one another, my friend. In debt to pray for one another, to help one another. Especially those that are lost without Christ. They don't have a clue what's going on in the world. Because I would be in a position to help you, I'm your debtor. I'm in debt to you. Got to do it. So you got to get the oil because of the right motive. The right motive was to pay the debt. That's what was behind that whole miracle. A picture of the Holy Spirit of God. How about the day of Pentecost? That'd be Acts chapter 2, when the church was first formed, 3,000 got saved. One day, they were baptized by immersion, and they were added to the church. That's written in the Word of God. It's not going to change for anybody. That is what God taught. You get saved, you get baptized, you join the church. Are you obeying God? In Acts chapter 1, before that happened, there was a 10-day prayer meeting. 120 of them in that upper room. 10 days praying. That's how the whole thing started, folks. And we have a big deal trying to get somebody out on Wednesday night, go to prayer meeting and pray for a half hour. That's a big deal. Wonder why we're having such a big problem. Remember that flesh lusteth. The spirit lusteth. Which one are you gonna you got two dogs in the fight here? Which one are you gonna feed, amen? Which one are you gonna be for? The one you feed is gonna be the stronger. We are bought with a price, it tells you in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. We're not our own. That's what this whole abortion thing is with the women, too. Oh, it's my body and everything. That baby in you is not your body. Your one soul, that child is another soul. You're deciding for that other soul whether it's going to live or not. You won't see that on ABC, CBS, NBC, or none of that's brought out. If your interest is to glorify God, well, listen to this verse. John 7:39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You want this oil in your life. Is your whole motive to glorify Jesus? You see, you're not going to con God. He knows your heart, mind, attitude. He knows the whole thing. He knows what you're thinking today. Some of you are receiving the Word of God, some of you aren't. God knows that. It doesn't change the Word of God one bit. It's going to say the same thing tomorrow as it does today. What is your interest? To glorify him or glorify yourself? Make it easier on yourself. He's the one giving the oil. Acts chapter 5 verse 32 says, and we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. I don't have to preach on that. That's very plain in there. You a disobedient Christian? You a self-willed Christian? You want the oil? You want a lot of vessels of oil? God's made provision for you. It's funny how we don't make provision for God. He requires your time. We just had Father's Day. Oh, it's Father's Day. I'm going to go buy Dad this and buy him this, and then this will please him and everything else. You know what a real father wants? He wants the time of that child. You know what that child really wants from a father? His time. How do you spell love? T-I-M-E. A lot of billionaires, families came apart. Billionaires commit suicide. It's not money, folks. Get the right attitude, get the right motive for what you're doing. You want revival? Well, how about using the same recipe that those that had revival back in the day, hundreds of years ago? Follow the Word of God, what I'm preaching to you today. There is one thing about it. She had to go and borrow the vessels. What's required for her to be able to borrow the vessel? Somebody willing to lend. God's got to put it into their heart. Feel sorry for this widow, her sons, and her predicament. She's not going to borrow. You're going to give it back later. If you're going to have a pot, it can't already be filled with something else. It can't be filled with your wants, your pride, your self-will, your rebellion. It must be empty. If you're going to have a vessel, it's got to be clean. Ecclesiastes 8, it talks about flies in the ointment, brother. Got a whole message on that. God's going to fill a clean vessel. You've got to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, if he told you to do something, you can do it. Holy doesn't mean perfect. It means holy, one of a kind. Take your stand for the Lord no matter what anybody else does. And he said, you go borrow, but not a few. That oil just kept on coming. I'm just about finished, so. You got to watch out. I finish many times in a sermon. So. But it said, as long as there was a vessel, the oil kept coming. It kept coming. As long as you had a vessel. And when there wasn't a vessel, the oil stayed, it said. It wasn't stayed until there was no more vessels. You'll never guess in that analogy what the vessel is. That'll be you. God wants to fill you with that oil. God wants you to burn for the Lord. God wants you to give off light as the lamp did. You see, the problem with everything going on out here is not God. It's with not having enough vessels. With not having a vessel more. He said, you go, Elisha said, you go and sell that oil. You pay off your debtor. You redeem your sons, and then you live the rest of your life off of that oil. She only got so many vessels. That's what God's problem is He doesn't have enough vessels. Because we need to lend ourselves to him to be filled. How are you in your Christian life? What are you going through? It's God showed you. God has the answer. He always does. The words that were used might haunt us. There is not a vessel more. Will you allow yourself to be that vessel? Will you get alone with God? Will you get into that closet, so to speak? Get alone with God. Get that oil. Be surprised. When you lubricate something, you know, your car has got to have oil in it. Works a lot better that way. Try to operate without. And you get so heated up over things, you blow your stack, short fuse, and everything else, just like that engine gets hot without the oil. We can learn all of these things this morning, but it's up to you to put it into effect. Up to you to open yourself to God and follow what the Word of God just said. Plenty of scripture to back it up, isn't it? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word. Help us, Lord, to love you enough to obey you. You've promised that if we do obey you, we have the right motive for having the oil that you'll give us, fresh oil. Help us, Lord, to introspect ourselves this morning. May you do a work within our willingness to let you do your work. You have the answers, we do not. The oil will provide. Bless in the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn books, won't you please?